Okay. Okay, we're learning Gemara Chumash Daf Yud Aleph on the days. The question was raised: how do we know from the Chumash that you follow Rov? The pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that reads Achrei Rabban Lahatois is talking about a split vote in a bezin, and that's what would be referred to as a Ruba Deisa Kamon. All the Dayanim are sitting there, and you can count them up on the fingers of your hand. How do you know a Ruba Deisa Kamon? How do you know, let's say, Rov Behemis Ksheris? We know in general that the overwhelming majority of the animals do not have treifas. How do you know that you have a right to follow that roif? The pasuk doesn't really say. Pasuk is only talking about Ruba Deisa Kamon. So each Amora quotes a different source from the pasuk. So we went through about four or five sources on Daf Yud Aleph from Ad Aleph. Then on Daf Yud Aleph in the days, the Gemara is continuing weiter on the seventh line from the top. Rav Meri Omar, the line begins with the word Omar. Rav Meri Omar, he has another marker from the Chumash. That you go Basar Asya, we derive this din, that you follow Ruba Deleisa Kamon from the din of Maka Ovim. If a person hits his father or his mother, and he causes bleeding, if he just slaps them, he taps them or something, they're not Chayv Nisa. But if he hits them and he causes bleeding, or he causes a black and blue mark, Nitzra Hadam, so that's the definition of Maka of the Imoi, is Chayiv Misa. So the question is, Imo, the baby came out of the mother's womb. So that we know that that's his mother. How do you know that his father is his father? Just because the mother is married to the father. Maybe the mother had an affair with someone else, and the child is a mamzer, and the husband of his mother is not his father. Dom Rachmana Katle, the Torah says we give the death penalty. Velechesh, why are we not concerned about the possibility, Dilma Lavavivu? Maybe it's not his father. The answer is Elalam Shum Narmin. And even if his mother is a Prutza, and even if she did have an affair with someone else, we still say Mishum the Armina. We say Zilbas Aruba, we follow Roy, Roy Beilus Achar Abal. The likelihood is that even if the mother was Mazana with someone else, still her husband is going to be the father of her children. I can check with the DNA, you can check with blood types. Huh? You have a ksuba, what good is that? A ksuba shows that this man is married to this woman. It doesn't necessarily prove. Yeah, it doesn't prove that the husband is the father of her children. They don't refuse to use. One of the rabbanim, many years ago when Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi, that was generations ago, it was a long time ago, 50 years ago. So one of the Dayanim said, we don't accept DNA. Why? Because the Gemara says, he said, we don't accept blood type. They didn't have DNA at that time. He said, we don't accept blood type. Because the Gemara says that the blood in the baby comes from the mother. And different things come from the father. So how can you tell me that by testing the blood, you can tell who the father is? The Gemara says the blood comes from the mother. So Rav Herzog wrote a letter to this Dayan, who published many volumes of Shadrach Sitchuk. He says, are you off your mind? The whole world is marching ahead in science, and everybody accepts blood type for over 100 years already, and you're like the ostrich, the sixth is head into the sand, that you don't want to recognize this idea of blood type. The whole world of science has accepted it. If it just came out yesterday, so they're still pilpling whether to accept it, okay, so they don't accept it, but it's already mekubal all over the world. The DNA is accepted. DNA is accepted. They recommend you shouldn't start testing everybody for DNAs because you may discover that some people are not really the sons of their mother's husband. So don't look for trouble. Okay, so don't look for trouble. But if you have an aguna, like after the World Trade Center was destroyed, and a couple of women were agunas, about 20 women or so were agunas, and then they found body parts, and they can identify the body parts based on DNA, so that shows that the husband is dead. They have an arm or a leg from the husband. So obviously, he was ripped apart to pieces. So they did accept. When they wrote all the tshuvas for the agunas, so they wrote, we assume the husband is dead because this reason, that reason, the other reason, and the last reason always was the mifrat, then we have DNA testing, and we know that this body part is from the husband. So that was always the punchline, the DNA. So the Gemara says in the days of the Tanakh, they didn't have any DNA, they didn't have any blood type. So how do you know that this is the father? So the answer obviously is that you go basarov and rov bilus achar habal. The rov indicates that the husband of the woman is the father of the children, even to the extent they're giving the death penalty. One could have argued the point and said that Safik Nefashas Lahakal, when it comes to Din Nefashas, there's a special pasuk in the end of Chumash Bamidbar that says, V'hitzilahu Eidah, you should bend over backwards in order to give the fellow a break, not to administer the death penalty. So one might have argued this is a Havamina in the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin. The Gemara says the following. There's a parsha in the Chumash of a ben sorer moreh. A boy has to be bar mitzvah, right? If he's before bar mitzvah, you don't punish him. He's a la bar anshin, so he's after bar mitzvah. But he can't, let's say, the ben sorer moreh is 55 years old and his father is 75 years old. And the 55-year-old child steals money from his parents and he goes and he buys meat and wine and he drinks with a bunch of gangsters. He has a dinner of ben sorer moreh. He could be a grandfather, right, at the age of 55. So the Gemara says, Bein v'lo av. The din of ben sorer moreh only applies if he's bein, not if he's already a father on his own. Bein v'lo haroi l'kros av. If he's already old enough that theoretically he could have been a father, then there's no din of ben sorer moreh. So the Gemara says, when could he theoretically be a father? So before the age of bar mitzvah, he's not roi l'holid. The Gemara says, in the Doros HaRishonim, in the earlier generations, in the days of Tanakh, somehow younger children were able to give birth, to be moilid, to be parents of children, so they became bar mitzvah before the age of 13. But in our generation, we assume that a child before 13 is not roi l'holid. But right after 13, we assume the day he becomes bar mitzvah is roi l'holid. So if he would theoretically get married the day of his bar mitzvah, and his wife would become pregnant on the same day, when would it be hukar havlad? How long would it take to make hukar havlad? So the Gemara says hukar vlada is 1/3 of the pregnancy. So in the days of the Gemara, they assumed that there are two types of pregnancies. Today, we don't understand, we don't understand what this means. The Gemara assumes that there's a 9-month pregnancy and there's a 7-month pregnancy. By behemoth, we know there's a 9-month pregnancy by behemoth gasa, by cows and horses, and there's a 5-month pregnancy by behemoth daka, by sheep and goats. So that corresponds to reality that we know. But this, nobody in the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't know what this means. The Gemara says that there are two types of pregnancy. It's a 9-month pregnancy or a 7-month pregnancy. So then the Gemara says, after 1/3 of the way into the pregnancy, it'll be considered hukar havlad. So if it'll be a nine, if the bar mitzvah boy will theoretically get married the day he becomes bar mitzvah, we're talking theoretically, who is he going to marry already? So he may marry a girl and have, she may become pregnant the first day that they get married, and she may have a 9-month pregnancy, some 3 months, and it may already be hukar ubra. So he's called already Bein v'loi haroi l'kroso av, because he's called the father when his wife is already hukar ubra, when it's already nikar that she's pregnant. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, the whole perek ben tzara mara. So the Mishnah says in that perek, the kol yom of shem ben tzara mara is only 3 months. Before bar mitzvah, he cannot become a ben tzara mara, because he la bar onshin, he can't punish him for anything that he does, he's a katan. And after 3 months, after bar mitzvah, he's already bein v'lo haroi l'kroso av. Theoretically, he could have been hukar ubra of his wife, and therefore there's no din of ben tzara mara. So the Gemara says, but why not say theoretically he could have married a girl and have made her pregnant with a 7-month pregnancy? It could have been hukar rubra in less than 3 months. So why don't you chisel it down and say he can only become a ben sora more the first 2 months in 10 days? First 2 months in 10 days after the bar mitzvah. Why do you say he can become a ben sora more the next 20 days also, until the end of 3 months? He could have theoretically married a girl who would have had a pregnancy of 7 months. That's how the Gemara assumes there's such a thing. And into 3 months, 1/3 of the pregnancy would have been hukar rubra. So the Gemara says, no. Even though you're talking about din nefashos, you're going lachumra, you go basaroy. Since roiv of the pregnancies are 9 months, so you go basarab. So the Gemara says, ma'u detema, one might have thought perhaps to say not so. Because the pasuk says in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, v'hitzilahu edah, the bezin should bend over backwards in order to acquit the person from the chi of misa, from the chi of malchus. So kamash malon, the pasuk says you go basarav acharab nahatas, you go basarav even over here to be mechayiv him that he should have a dina ben sora mara until the end of the 3 months, not just till the end of 2 months and 10 days. So the gemara is beferish that you go basarav even to administer the dina nefashos. Here also like that. They're not the same though. There the Gemara is establishing what the din is. We're saying theoretically you can only become a Ben Sarah Mar. We're not talking that he actually got married the day of his bar mitzvah. It didn't happen. We're saying darshaning the pasuk. You darshan the pasuk bein v'lo av bein v'lo haroy lekroso av. Theoretically, if he could have been a father, and how do you determine theoretically could have been a father? He could have married a girl who would have had a 9-month pregnancy. Could have married a girl who would have a 7-month pregnancy. So you established halachas, you kaveh the drushes of the psukim based on roif. Then the Gemara says, and you don't say v'hitzila ho'edom. You darshan the psukim according to you always kaveh halachas based on what the roif is. Then the Gemara says also in the same context, on the same daf, if the witnesses come to Bezin, they didn't have watches, they didn't have clocks in the days of the Tanoim, the days of the Tanakh. So the Chumash says the witnesses have to say what day of the month. They testify someone borrowed money or someone murdered someone else. So they have to say what day of the month it is, what day of the week it is. So what day of the week is Tuesday? There's no two ways about it. Everybody knows Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You know it's Tuesday. Then they say what time. So we wear a watch. They say hey, it's 8:22. Check. But if you don't have a watch, so you approximate. So you say it was late. That they were davening. They're about to daven mincha. You say it was late in the afternoon before the shkia. So you approximate. So the Gemara says, what if one of the witnesses, they're guessing, approximating. One of the witnesses says, it must have been about 7:30. The other guy says, no, it must have been about 8:30. No one has a clock, no one has a watch. So the Gemara says, if they're within an hour or two of each other, different opinions in the Tanaim, there's no contradiction because Roy ben Yodam don't know exactly what time it is because they don't go with watches. And then the Gemara says, you say what day of the month it is. We have printed calendars 50 years in advance. You look at a calendar, you know when the bar mitzvah is going to be, when the baby is born, you already tell the mother what parsha the kid is going to be bar mitzvah. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have that. So the Bezin had to determine when Rosh Chodesh is. Not everybody davened in shul on Rosh Chodesh, so not everybody knew when Rosh Chodesh was. So they didn't know, I don't know, what's today's Yutes? I think I had to sign a letter. So I think today's Yutes, Sivan. Okay. I wouldn't have had to sign the letter last night. I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't remember that it's Yutesim. So the Gemara says, if he's within a day off, he didn't know exactly where Rosh Chodesh was. So if he's within a day off, right people make a mistake within a day. So therefore, you can't expect from the witnesses that they should be so medayik that they should know the precise day. The day of the week, they should know. But the hour, the precise hour, since Rav Ben Yodam Toya B'Shoachas or B'Shteishos, so the Halacha only requires that they should say Ezeshoah within a range of 2 hours. And the Halacha only requires that they should say Beze Yom Bachodesh, which month is Sivan? No two ways about it. They're going to say it's Nisan here, so he's off. They're going to say which day of Sivan is. They're going to say, I think it was Yudches, I think it was Chav. So if you're only one day off, so that's not bad because people make a mistake. They don't. Not everybody was in shul when they daven Amish Chodesh. And they made a mistake. So there the Gemara is talking about going Basarayv, not to ascertain the facts of the case. They're talking about, you go Basarayv to establish an abstract, when can the child be punished as the Ben Sarah Mora? Only the first 2 months and 10 days after Bar Mitzvah, or the first full 3 months after Bar Mitzvah? So since Rayv pregnancies are 9-month pregnancies, and Hukah Rubra will take place after 1/3 of the 9-month pregnancy, 3 months, so we established that a child can be a mitzvah for a full 3 months after the bar mitzvah. And since Roy ben Yodah make a mistake beis Shoah, because people didn't have watches, and Roy ben Yodah make a mistake beis Yom HaChodesh, the Allah only requires that the witnesses should be able to ascertain what day of the month within the range of 1 day. 1 day off is okay, because the Allah can't require that it should be so precise. Because Roy ben Yodah make a mistake, so the Allah, you kaveh the din based on Roy. Here we're ascertaining the fact, we don't know, he hit this man. This man raised the child, and we always thought this man is the father. But now he hit the father, and he was bleeding. So you want to know: is he chai mitam? You're not allowed to hit anybody. If you hit someone, you get malka sometimes, and sometimes you pay money. If there's what to pay, if you're chayvel b'chaver, you say pay nezik tzari b'shevus and boshes. If you're chayvel b'chaver, you slap him, and his nose is bleeding. Well, there's nothing to pay. No nezik tzari b'shevus and boshes. Then you give him malkas. The Halacha says that Chayvel Bachaber gets Malkus unless there's something to pay. If you Chayvel Pachas Mishavar Putin, there's nothing to pay, then he gets Malkus. It's worse. The Malkus is worse than paying already. Okay. So that's how the Gemara says. But if he slugs his father, then he gets Misa. So the Gemara says, how do you know that it's a father? You go Basarayv, not to be kaveh and abstract what the din is. And the Chumash it says, you slug your father, you get misa. But you ascertain based on Rav that this is really his father. You assume that the Rav is mevar the facts of the case. This is not the same as the other Gemara. The other Gemara said, you go basa Rav and did in the farshas to establish the halachas and abstract. This Gemara says, to be mevar the facts of the case, you have a right to go basa Rav. So that's why it's a problem with the Rambam. There's a famous Rambam that the Rav disagrees with. The Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Ksubas quotes a Mishnah in, I forgot, somewhere in Taharis, I forgot already where it is. You find a baby on the steps to the police station. A woman had a baby, and she doesn't want to raise the baby, so she leaves the baby. So you don't know, it's Jewish baby, non-Jewish baby. You don't know who it is. So the Mishnah says you go Basarov. If it's a Chinese baby, so you know it's not Jewish, Chinese. If it's a Schwarzer baby, so you know it's not Jewish, okay? But if it's a white baby.
The mother, well, your mother, you know.
Yeah. So let's say, no, you don't know who the mother is. You don't know anything. An Asufi, you don't know the father, you don't know who the mother is. So the Mishnah says you go Basar Raiv. What do you mean you go Basar Raiv? Raiv, you don't go Basar Raiv women in the city. A lot of the women are over 60. They can't have any children. It means the women who are right to give birth to babies. The rive of the women who are able to give birth to babies, are they Jewish or are they non-Jewish? If the rive of the women are Jewish, you establish that this baby is Jewish, so you give him up to a Jewish family to raise, and they're going to make him bar mitzvah and send him to the yeshiva. He's going to marry a Jewish girl. And then what happens if the wife is mezana? So the Rambam says, you don't give the wife misa because maybe he's really a guy. Because we only know based on a rive that he's Jewish. Because when he was born, they found him on the steps to the police station. The parents gave him up. We only established that he's Jewish based on a rive. And you can't administer din in the nefashos based on rive. If he's a goy and he married a Jewish woman, so the kedushin are not tovsin, so she's not an eshes ish. So she had an affair with someone else, she doesn't deserve the death penalty. So we only established that the husband is Jewish who married her based on a rive. When he was born, the rive of the women in the city could give birth to babies were Jewish. And the Rambam says he can't give din in the fashas based on a rive. So the rive is masig against the Rambam. The Gemara says beferish, the rive is good not only to be kaver the halachas in abstract that a ben sura mora is up until 3 months after bar mitzvah and that the witnesses don't have to be so precise in the day of the month and in the hour when the event occurred. You go basarav to be kaveh halachas. The Gemara said you go basarav to establish the facts of the case. So how can the Rambam say that you don't give din in the fashas? He writes here, royally, in my opinion, in fewer than 100 times. The Rambam always is quoting, either quoting Mishnayos or Gemaras or Tshuvas Hagoyim. I'm always quoting. And less than 100 times, the Rambam says, you royally, in my opinion, and he gives his opinion on something. So this is one of those, something like 98, 99 times. The Rambam writes, you royally. So he says, you royally, that you wouldn't administer din in the fashas. So that's what the rive at his masik. Why not? Gemara says, beferish, you ascertain that this man is the father based on rive, bila sachar habal, and you give an einish misa based on the assumption that those are the facts. So what does the Rambam say that you don't go basar rive? So the Sheb Shmaitze answers the kasha. Sheb Shmaitze, we mentioned, is the sefer written by the author of the Ktzoy Sachoshen, but he wrote it when he was only 17 years old. He was a child prodigy. So it's a very heavy duty sefer. Sheb Shmaitze by Roiv and Chazok and Sofik and Svek Sveike and Sofik Tumah B'shul Seyachet B'shul Sarab. You have to know all of Shas to appreciate that many svarim were written commentaries on the Sheb Shmaitze. So the Sheb Shmaitze suggests that the Gemara says you go basa roiv to administer din in the fashas. That's a better roiv. That's a ruba delesi kaman. Rov bila sachar abal is an abstract. Even if a woman is a prutza, a married woman is a prutza, and she has an affair every so often with someone else, but when she's going to have a baby, we follow the roiv. The roiv is that her husband is the father of the baby. Once in a while, we'll ascertain that it's not so. But when you go basa roiv, so that's a ruba delesi kaman. And the Rambam is talking about a different case. You find a tinek hanimtza mushloch ba'ir, you find a baby neglected, and you don't know who the mother of the child is, so you establish based on, you take a poll, how many women are there in this city who are roi laholid? So the rive of the women are roi laholid, are Jewish, so you establish that the baby is Jewish. That's a rubid de isa kamon. So that's what the Sheb Shmaitze says, a rubid de isa kamon, the Rambam writes, you roi li, that's a weaker rive. So you cannot administer din in the fashas based on such a rive. And the Gemara says, you do give din in the fashas, by Makar of the Imai, that's because that's a Ruba that lays the Kamon, that's better.
Why is
Rabbi Yitzchak Al-Khanon has a tshuva where he disagrees with Yishesh Maitzah. He says, the Gemara started off by saying, how do you know you go Basar Roy? On the top of Yud Aleph, and I'll say, what do you mean, how do you know? It's a Pasuk in Chumash. It says, Acharab Lahatas. So Gemara says, no, the Pasuk only speaks about Ruba de Yisa Kamon. How do you know that Ruba de Yisa Kamon is good? So the Gemara assumes Ruba de Yisa Kamon is better than Ruba de Yisa Kamon. That's the Pasuk. And when you get to the Maskana, it's still going to be unclear. How do you taka know that Ruba de Leisa Kamon is good? So Rashi writes he's not sure. Rashi on the top, I think. Rashi on the top of Yud Beis Amar Alba. Rashi writes he's not sure. Is it a halacha l'moshe misinai, or is it that we assume it's also included in the pasuk Acharab Lahatas? So the pashtus and the whole thrust of the Gemara is that Ruba de Leisa Kamon is for sure. But with the Leisa Kamon is fluky, we're not sure. All of a sudden comes the Shesh Maitz and Zok Faker. He says that the Ruba de Leisa Kamon is better than Ruba de Yisa Kamon. Rabbi Yitzchak Al-Khanon doesn't accept the Shesh Maitz. He holds that it's wrong. In the yeshivas, they all assume, yeah, the Shesh Maitz is right. The Havamin of the Gemara was that the Pasuk only goes Ruba de Yisa Kamon. And then you have to go prove that even Ruba de Leisa Kamon is also good. But once you establish that it's good, then it's even better than Ruba de Yisa Kamon. Ruba de Yisa Kamon is just arbitrary. You have Teisha Chanuyas, Merchas Basar Shchuto, V'achas Mecheres Besar Neveila, and then you find a package of meat in the street and it says nothing on the wrapper. You don't know whether it's from a kosher store or a treifah store. So you go Basar Roiv. Roiv, 9 out of 10 stores sell kosher meat. And you have the Sanhedrin. So the Ruba de Yisa Kamon is arbitrary. Ruba de Yisa Kamon is mistaber. This is Minik Olam. This is Tivish Olam. So that's what the Shev Shmaitza holds like that. Once the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Leisa Kamon is good, not only is it good, it's even superior to Ruba de Yisa Kamon. And that's the difference. That the Rama holds Ruba de Leisa Kamon is good to administer the Nefoshes, and Ruba de Yisa Kamon is no good. Rabbi Yitzchak Al-Khanon doesn't like that teretz. Dafman Kratzen, you have to go figure out a different teretz.
The abandoned child, to see if this boy is Gemal, was that a factor that only Jewish people existed had in those days?
Yeah, yeah. If you see the baby has a bris mitzvah, say, you know, it's Jewish. You assume it's Jewish. Today also probably. Rove of the babies who have circumcision are Jewish. You got to find out. You have to ask in the hospitals to find out. But in the days of the Gemara, for sure, like that, yeah. The Gemara says that. If the baby is Gemal, then you assume it's a Jewish baby. The Gemara says that at the end of the first paragraph, Ksubis, yeah. You see, if you don't say it like the Shev Shmaitzer, Shev Shmaitzer said, the Ramam says, you can't rely on a Roiv to administer Din Nefashis when the Roiv is ascertaining the facts of the case. So the Ramam is talking about Ruba the Isa Kamon, you can't rely. And the Gemara says, you do rely on Rav, that's Ruba de Leisa Kamon. That you do rely on Rav. So if you don't like that teretz, what is the teretz? So I had quite around 35 years ago, I had prepared a shiur. I was going to give a shiur. And then the last 15 minutes before the shiur, I started to look around. I had one screw didn't fit in. I had the whole Gemara, everything fit in. There was one piece of information didn't fit in. I started looking around to see if anybody has anything to say about it. Looking, then I found the Ragachova has a sefer on the Rambam Tzofnas Panech. He has my whole Shtikl Torah in 4 lines with the Kasha and with the Teretz. He has the whole thing, everything that I had, and he has the Teretz on the screw that didn't fit in. So he says the following. I got all excited because I thought of the 90% I figured out on my own. The last 10% I didn't know. So he says the following. What's the mocker of the Rambam? Why should the Rambam say that Reuven is no good to administer the Nefashis? So the Pashtus is, the Shev Shmaitzer says this also, because the Pasuk says in Chumash, Lo yokem eidecha b'ish l'cholav and l'chol chatas b'chol cheta sheyechto. You can't rely on eidechot. Al pi shnayim eidem, al pi shlosh eidem yumas. Hameis lo yumas al pi eidechot. You have to have dafke 2 or 3 witnesses who testify. So the Chumash says, you got to have hagora shnei eidem. Anything less than shnei eidem is not acceptable if you mevar the facts of the case. So just like eidechot is less than 2 eidem, so Roiv is also less than 2 eidim. So the Pasuk says, Al Pishnaim Eidim, Al Pishlosh Eidim, Yumas Hameis, Lo Yumas Al Pi Eidechot, anything less than Shnei Eidim is no good. So just like Eidechot is not acceptable, so Roiv is no good and Hazok is also no good. So the Pashtus is based on that Pasuk. So the shaila is, but the Gemara says you do follow Rav over here. So the Ragachava distinguishes by trying to be mevar a metzias, trying to be mevar whether this is plastic or wood or metal, by trying to mevar that a maisa occurred. So the Rambam says if you're trying to be mevar whether the woman is an eshesish, it depends whether the husband was Jewish. When she got married, was the husband Jewish or not? When the husband was born, they gave him up for adoption. They left him as a baby in the police station. We don't know, no one has any records who the mother of the child is. We don't know whether the child is Jewish or not. To be Jewish, you have to have a Maisa Geirus. We usually assume, my mother was Jewish, I was born Jewish. If you were born a guy, so then you have to undergo Geirus. So the Rishonim say it's not so. My mother was Jewish because her mother was Jewish, because all the way back her mother's mother underwent Geirus. The whole Klal Yisrael had Geirus at Maimon Har Sinai. Everyone wants is Jewish, because to become Jewish you have to have a Maisa. You're not naturally born Jewish. Naturally born Jewish means your mother's Geirus or your grandmother's Geirus or your great 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 grandmother's Geirus was good and made you Jewish. So to ascertain that someone is Jewish, not like ascertaining whether this is wood or plastic or metal, that's a metzias. When you're ascertaining a metzias, then you want to ascertain, is this person the father or is he not the father? That's a question of metzias. Is this the father or not? Question of metzias, you follow right. But if you're talking about to be mevara, whether a maisa happened or not, so that the Rambam distinguishes. To be mevara that a maisa happened, so for that you have to have davke 2 edim, and anything less than 2 edim, including roiv, is not acceptable. That's the Ragachava suggestion. So the piece that was missing was, the Gemara has a din, let's say a couple moves into town, and they say that they're married, Mr. and Mrs. Shapiro. They come, they say they're married. And then, the wife goes and has an affair with someone else. So the witnesses warn her, you're an Eishes Ish, we're going to give you the death penalty. She says, I don't care. So how can you give her the death penalty? We assume, the Gemara says, if they come to the city, we don't know who they are. They come and they act out for 30 days as if they're husband and wife. So we assume an umdina that they probably are husband and wife. Or let's say they come and they say they're brother and sister. And then the boy has an affair with the sister. So we say, you're going to give you malchus. Habalacha says, like it. So how do we know that it's really brother and sister? Maybe they made up a baba maisa. So the Gemara says, if it's huchsak lamed yom, if they acted out like brother and sister for 30 days, or they acted like husband and wife for 30 days, so you assume that those are the facts. So that's a ruba de leisa kamon. It's probably so. So the shaila was to ascertain that it's a brother and a sister. That's like ascertaining that this is, you want to establish whether this is plastic or wood or metal. That's a metzias. Brother and sister is a davish and metzias. So roiv is good to ascertain metzias. But to ascertain that the woman is an eshes ish, she can't become an eshes ish without a maisa kiddushin. So you're trying to establish that there was a maisa kiddushin. You can't be naturally an eshes ish. Someone had to be Mekadosh the Isha. So you're reconstructing that there was a Maisa Kedushin based on a Roiv. So isn't that what we just said in the Rambam, that you can't rely on a Roiv to be Mevar the facts of the case if you want to be Mevar that a Maisa happened? You don't give din in the fashas based on that. So that was the Kasha that I had. So the Ragachava had the whole Shtigal Torah with the Kasha, with the Teretz in 4 lines, the whole thing. He always writes very Bikitza. So he says, when a couple comes to town, and they act like husband and wife, and all the people in town see that they're acting, they go to weddings, they go to shul together, they have their mail, their address, they say it's Mr. and Mrs., they're married together. So it's not just that we are mevara, that since they're like a brother and a sister, they act like brother and a sister for 30 days, we assume they're brother and a sister. If they act like husband and wife, we assume they're husband and wife. That's not the whole story. Either they are husband and wife, and if they're not, then they just got married to each other in the last month, because they're probably living together, derech yish v'yishtoy, and there's such a thing as kiddushe biya. And if everybody in the city knows that they're living together, we don't have to be in the bedroom when they're living together, since everybody knows that they're noyek, derech yish v'yishtoy, so it's considered like edus l'keim adover on the kiddushe biya. So it's as if we see that they're getting married under our eyes. In the course of the month, Mistama, she went to Mikvah, Mistama, they were together. So therefore, it's considered as if we saw the Kiddushin. Not that we can reconstruct that there was a Maisa Kiddushin. They reconstruct that there was a Maisa Kiddushin based on a Ruba de Leisa Kamam, because people are acting out for 30 days at the husband and wife. So that's what the Rambam seems to hold, that you don't follow Roiv to administer din in nefashah is to be mivara a factor that a maisa happened. The mivara metzias, but this is a plastic of wood or metal, he would go basarayv to give misa. But to be mivara that a maisa occurred, that the Rambam seems to hold that rayv would not be good. But over here, either we assume that they already got married, or we're seeing them getting married under our nose, because they're living together, kederach ish v'ishtoi, so everybody in the city is considered like Eidus L'kem Adam on the Kiddush Adiyah. That's what he added on.
I think it would only work if you hold that Rav is a viewer and not a Hanhaga. You had asked earlier whether Rav is an opinion of a viewer or a Hanhaga.
We usually distinguish between Roiv and Chazokah. The Chazokah is only a din had to be Noheg, and Roiv is a Bira. If it's only a Roiv that just made it by the skin of its teeth, let's say Roiv 51% to 49%. So that's Shvach Bira. So that's probably just a din Hanhoga. That's a Roiv Garua. But if you have a Roiv Bari, a healthy Gesunta Roiv, 75%, 85%, that's a Bira. That's a Bira. That's why Ruba v'chazok Ruba Adav, the Pnei Yeshua writes in the first parak in Ksubas. How come if you don't know what the facts of the case are? So Chazokah says one way and Rav says the other way. So what do you do when there's a conflict? Chazokah pulls in one direction, Rav pulls in the other direction. So it's a machloikus hatanoim, Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And we pass like the Chachamim that when you have Ruba v'chazok Ruba Adav, the Rav beats out the Chazokah. Why? So the Pnei Yeshua explains why. Chazokah is it didn't have to be nohig when you don't know the facts of the case. Rav tells you what the facts of the case are. So if Rav pulls in one direction, tells you what the facts are, so the whole din of Chazakah doesn't apply. If you would have a Rav Garua, you have 51% to 49%. The Rav Garua in conflict with the Chazakah, so Taisa says that it's Shkulim. Because the Rav Garua is also a din Hanhoga, and Chazakah is only a din Hanhoga. So it's Hanhoga against Hanhoga, so it's Shkulim, so you don't know what to do. But if you have a Rav Bari, in conflict with the Chazakah, so Chazakah is only a din Hanhoga. How to be noig if you don't know the facts of the case? And the Rav Bari, a Gesunta Rav, 75%, 85%, a Rav tells you what the probability is. So that's Mevara, the facts of the case. Yes, a Rav is Mevara, the facts of the case. Yeah. So this is the famous Gemara. This is the Gemara that's against the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Yeroyali, that you don't administer din in the fashas if you're ascertaining the fact that the woman is an Eshes Ish based on a Rav. The baby, when he was born, we didn't know whether he was Jewish. So we established his status as being Jewish based on a Ruba de Leisa Kamon, because most of the women in the community who are Roy Lahailid are Jewish, so we established a Jewish child. So let's say, it also depends, let's say the child is obviously Chinese. So what do you mean he's Jewish? What is that? Rav Mimonin. But the child is Chinese, or he's a Japanese or something. So he doesn't look Jewish. He's probably, Roy babies who look Chinese are not Jewish. So let's say you live in a community, all of the women who are Jewish are Roy Lahoylet, are very fine women, they're very fine, they're not going to leave, they're not going to neglect the baby. They all have 10, they all have big families, they have another baby, they're not going to leave him, they're not going to neglect, it's not a sick baby. There's nothing wrong with the child. They're not going to leave him on the steps of the police station. And by the goyim, a lot of times, prutzim and they leave babies. So then you go, what's the likelihood? You don't always say, Roiv are the women who are Roi L'Hoylid are Jewish, and therefore the baby is Jewish. You have to say, Roiv are the women who are Roi L'Hoylid who would neglect the baby. Are they Jewish or not Jewish? So a lot of times, even if Roiv are the women are Jewish, but the Roiv are the women who just throw the baby out in the garbage are not Jewish. You have to go but to whatever the likelihood is, whatever the probability is, whatever the mathematical probability is. So again, so the Gemara says, we can establish from the Chumash that you go basarayf, and the parasha of Makkah of Avihima, the Torah says, katle, you give the death penalty, not only if it hits the mother, it hits the father. V'lechesh, let us be concerned, dilma lavavivu, how do you administer the death penalty? Maybe it's not the father. The mother, you know, bevadoes, the baby came out of a body, but the father, you don't know. Even if the woman is a prutza, you still have the right to assume that the baby probably is from her husband. Baby, the father of the baby probably is her husband. How do you know to prove from the parsha and chumash a makor of the imay? To extrapolate from that parsha that there's a din of Azlina Basa Ruba Deleisa Kaman, Dilma, perhaps Kagain, maybe the only time the Chumash has a din, a Maka of Vivimai, is when the father and the mother were in prison for 5 years and they had a baby in prison. There was nobody there in the cell. There was no other man in the cell. So it's impossible that it could be anybody else. Of course he's the father. Dilma, perhaps, they were locked up in prison. And in such a case, you know for sure that he's the father. Maybe in a normal case, where you live in a free society, and the woman could have had an affair with anybody else, and maybe you don't go basarai. Berzok, that the Chumash says that there's always a death penalty for Maka Aviv, maybe Maka Aviv is only in that rare case. So the Gemara says, no, that's ridiculous. Even if the parents were locked up in a cell, you're still relying on a Ruba de Leisa Kamon, because in a Petrapas La Rayas, who knows, maybe once the prison guard sent the husband away, maybe he had an affair with the woman. You still don't know. Even if they were locked up in a prison together, since ain't apachop is la rise, he can never tell. So he's still relying on a Ruba de Leisa Kamon to establish that this is the father. Okay. So the Gemara claims that that's a good mocker. From the Parsha, Maka Aviv, Maka Ima, you can't prove anything, but Maka Aviv, how do you know Dilma Lav Avivu? So you see that you go Basaroif to establish that he is the father. Then the Gemara has another mocker, Rav Kana Amar. Rav Kana has another mocker from the Chumash. Asya, we can derive, we have a Yafusa, that you go Basaroif Mehorigas HaNefesh. The din is that when I murder someone, so I get the death penalty. So that's only if the person whom I murdered is alive. What if there's a dead person and I shoot him, he's already dead, so I didn't murder him. What if a person is a trefa? Trefa means he has some condition. If a person is, he's 119 years old and he's holding by the end that he's utot, he's going to die, that's a goises b'dei shamayim. The goises b'dei shamayim, if you kill him, ha'orga neragol, yechai nisa. You don't say he only has a few hours to go, he's holding by dying, and I kill him, avrachmanus, mercy killing. So you don't say that you're not chayv misa. Harigas at goises b'diodam, b'dei shamayim is chayv misa. But what if the fellow is a trefa? Trefa means that he has some. How do you distinguish between a goises b'dei shamayim and a trefa? That's a question. That's a serious question. So the Shita Mekubetzes in Bava Kama says that if you kill a man who's a trefa based on Hilchas Trefas and Behemoth, and Perek El Trefas, the third Perek in Chulin, it lists off what diseases in an animal establish at the animal. Oh, this is Chulin. We're learning from. So the third Perek in Chulin is El Trefas. It lists off all the 70 different diseases that you can declare an animal as a trefa, and it's considered as if you shechted a dead animal. Is considered as if the animal is half dead. So therefore, shechting a trefa is not a valid shechita. So if an odom has one of those same trefas, then the odom is considered a gabra ketila, v'ha-harga in a neragola. If I murder someone who's anywhere a trefa, if I kill a person who's a geisis b'dei shamayim, he's holding by dying, he's holding by the end, he lived a long life or a short life, whatever it is, but he's about to die a natural death, that's a geisis. So hargas, a geisis, even a minute before he dies naturally, Yechai Misa. But if a person has one of the diseases described in the Mishnah, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, so that's called Hergas HaTrefa. The Rambam does not seem to agree with that Shita Mekubetzes, because the Rambam writes in Hilchas Shchita, when he lists off all the Hilchas Trefas, he says that it doesn't depend on what the doctors have to say. This is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that these diseases declare the animal as a trefa. And even if the doctors think that the animal will live longer than 12 months, it's halacha l'moshe misina that these are trefa. And when it comes to hargas ha-trefa, that the Rambam in Hilchos Ratzeach writes, one who kills a trefa is not chayv misa, because a trefa is considered as if he already is, a gabra ketila, considered as if he already is dead. So the Rambam says the definition of a trefa here is, if the doctors will establish, they don't think he has 12 months left to go. So he doesn't have 12 months to live. What if a person is holding by the end of his life? That's a geises. So if you kill a geises, b'dei shamayim, wachai misa. So what's the definition of a trefa? You have to, sir, absolutely, you have to add on something over here. If there's tissue damage, if he's sustaining some injury to his organs, everything is failing. He's just falling to pieces, so that's a geises. But if he sustains some tissue damage, because of which he's going to die within 12 months, so that's called a trefa. So if you kill a trefa, you're not chai misa. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Reuven shoots Shimon to death. How do you know maybe Shimon was a trefa? How can you ascertain that Shimon was not a trefa? So maybe he'll check the body after he's dead. So the Gemara says it'll take hours and hours. You're going to have to cut up the whole body. It'll be a nivala mace. You're going to have to cut up every single organ to ascertain whether the dead person was a treifa or not. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's a nivala mace, but it's for the purpose of taking the koma. It's nivala mace lekoved mace. The mace probably wants to take the koma. Chumash says if one murders someone else, knock him, you knock him. You have to take nekama. Cherev nekem is the kambris. If you murder someone, there's skida sveifa, herig, and chenik. So the punishment for murder is sayif, because the pasuk says, nokem yinokem, and the word, and the pasuk says, in Navi, cherev nekem is the kambris. That's how you ascertain that a rotzeh is chayiv sayif. So it's considered, in a certain sense, nekama, that the dead person, the murdered person, is taking the kama. He's dead already. But the Torah says we're taking the kama on his behalf. So it's in a certain sense, it's lechvodu shalameis that we want to kill the ratzeach who killed him. So maybe even though we have to cut up the dead body to check to make sure that he's not a treifa, in order to give the death penalty to the one who killed him, but maybe that's lechaved ameis. Maybe this nivel ameis, to cut him up and to subject him to all the medical tests to see that he ascertained that he wasn't a treifa, that's lechvodu shalameis in order to administer the death penalty. So that's what the Gemara says again. Rav Kana, Amar, Rav Kana says, how do you know that you go basarot? Asya, we derive it from Hargis HaNefesh Dom. Rachmanin says in the Torah, Katle, the one who kills another person, you give him the death penalty. The Lechish, the Gemara says, let's be concerned. Maybe Dilma Trefa, maybe the one who was killed was a Trefa anyway, and one who kills a Trefa is not Chai Misa, because we consider it as if Gavra Ketila Kotel, as if he killed the person who was already dead. And roi people are not treifas. Roi, like roi behemoths, are not treifas. How can you drink milk from any given cow? Maybe the cow has a treifas. So now you can check by an x-ray machine. But in the days of Gemara, they didn't have any x-rays. How do you know that the milk is kosher? Maybe the animal has a treifas inside that you can't see. But the answer is you go baser roi. Once at the OU had a weekend. So they once had a panel discussion about kashrus. So they had representatives from the different kashrus organizations. So Rabbi Moshe Heineman was there from Baltimore. So someone posed the question. They want to know when the organizations give hashgachas, do they rely on Rav, or do they really check everything out? So Rabbi Heineman is a character. He's a very entertaining fellow. So he says, and he has like a British accent. So he says, well, we don't check the animals to see that they're not treifas. We rely on roiv, and we give hashgacha on the milk. We do rely on roiv. Some roivs do rely. If you have a factory where you have you don't know whether the kelim are treif or kosher, so then you, the organization, the kashrus organization, should kasher all the kelim, and you shouldn't rely on roiv. That is probably kosher, if you're not sure. So that's what the hashgacha is all about. But there's some things that we do rely on roiv. We rely on roiv to assume roiv behemis k'sheris, eh? So you can eat the meat, you can drink the milk, and so on. So that's what the Gemara says. You rely on roiv to give the death penalty to our retzeach, because if the horug, if the murder victim was a treifa, so the one who killed him is not chai misa, because we say garek tila kotal. So then the Gemara says, but it's not a conclusive proof. V'chi teimon, maybe you'll argue the point and you'll say, debat kinan lei, we'll cut up the dead body into little pieces to check by a medical examiner to find that maybe he had treifas, maybe not. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. He'll come in uvel, he'll come in avel. That's a bizoyin mace. You're not allowed to be mevaza the mace. V'chi teimon, maybe you'll argue the point and say, it's not a bizayin ameis, because we're doing it to lechvod shel ameis. In order to give the death penalty to the one who murdered him, he can't give the death penalty unless he checked to ascertain that the one who is the horug is not a treifa. So the Gemara says, v'chi teimum shemi bud neshama dehai. In order to give the death penalty to the murderer, the navale, we should be menavel him. So the Gemara says, but it's still not even going to help. You're going to cut the whole body up to little pieces. But let's say they took a knife and they cut his head off, or they stabbed him in the heart. So you can check everything, but you can't check over there by the neck. Maybe when they cut off his head, maybe there was a neck of an aveshet over there, what made him into a treifa. So there's no way to tell now. But they stabbed him in the heart. Maybe there was a hole in his heart before they stabbed him. Because of the hole in his heart, he was a treifa. So that's what the Gemara says, v'nechesh, you should still be concerned, even if you cut the horog up into little pieces and have the medical examiner check everything, the nechesh, you should still be concerned. Shembe mu'akam saif nekav havet. Maybe the place where he stabbed them with the saif or the place where he cut off his head, he beheaded him. Maybe over there, there was a nekiv in the harug, and he was a treif, and there's no way, even if you cut up the body, there's no way for you to know that. So that's a raya from the fact that the Torah says you give the death penalty to someone who murders someone else. That's a raya that you go basar raiv, and you assume that the harug was not a gavrik tila, the harug was not a treifa, and you even rely on raiv to give din in the fashas. See, this is not a roiv to establish that a maisa happened. This is a roiv to establish, is the person a treifa or not? Previously, not a roiv to establish maisa. A roiv to who is the father? Is the husband of the mother the father or someone else the father? So the roiv is mevara the mitzias, like the roiv is mevara whether you mevara whether this is plastic or wood or metal. So you go basarot. But if you have to be mevara that the person is Jewish, so the Rambam thinks that that roiv is no good because there you mevara. A maisa, you're being mevara that a maisa geiris either was done on this person, or was done on his mother's mother, sometime in the past. Everyone is Jewish because everyone had a maisa geiris, either his own maisa geiris or his mother's, or all the way back. And there's that.
Being a momentous, we don't
You don't go basar,
right?
Go
after
so Taisa says that murder is kasha. Murder is kasha. If roiv is not good, machlek is Rabbi Shmuel. So we pass an ein hochma mamen acher harav. You cannot be moitzi mamen from a muchzak based on a rav. So admitus the din in fashas, you can, and to be moitzi mamen, you can't. How can that be? Taisus says that kasha. So Taisus and two mesichtas gives two different answers. So one mesichta Taisus says with a straight face, yes, that's the difference. Muchzak and mamen is strong. You can't be moitzi mamen from a muchzak based on a rav. But to give din in the fashas, he can. They told me in secular law, it's like that. If someone dies, and he had $1 in his bank account, and I come and I claim I'm the closest of kin, they won't give me the dollar. You have to bring rayas that you're the next of kin, even though the whole din Torah is only on a dollar. To get money from the bank, you have to have rayas. But if I come, a guy is dying in the hospital, I come, I say, I'm the next of kin, and they should pull the plug. So they told me in secular law, they'll accept it. I walk in and I say, I'm the next, I won't be able to prove it. When it comes to taking money out of the bank, you got to have two Uriah Brewery. So that's one day in Taisus. That the Kasha, the Nishkin Kasha, that to be Moitzi Mammon from a Muchzak is harder than to give Din in Fashas, because Muchzak is Muchzak on the Mammon, it's a Xeris HaKasav. The other day in Taisus in Sanhedrin, that's Taisus in Bava Kamas, Taisus in Sanhedrin says differently. Taisus says any roiv that's no good by mominus would also not be good by din nefashis. There's a 98% roiv, 90% roiv, 85% roiv, 80% roiv, different kinds of roivs. So any roiv that's sufficient to administer din nefashis would be good to be moitzi mamon also. And any roiv that's too weak to be moitzi mamon who are dinami would not be acceptable to give din nefashis. Because it can't be, like you say, it can't be. How can it be? That roiv is not good to be moitzi mamon, but it is good to administer the death penalty. And the other taisus holds, yeah, that to be moitzi mamon is harder. 2 days in taisus. The Shem Shmaitza points it out, the two taisus. Ravina Omar, each Amar, like an Omar Aleph, each Amar brings a different marker from the Chumash to prove that you do go Basarev. So Ravina has another marker, also from Din in the Fashas. The Torah has an institution of Edom Zaymanim. Two witnesses testified that Reuben owes Shimon money. Two witnesses testified that Reuben deserves Malkus because he ate Chazak, or that he deserves the death penalty because he worshipped Tavid Zohar, because he's Mechal Shabbos, whatever. And then another two witnesses come and they say, how can you testify that Reuven is Chayiv Mamon and Reuven is Chayiv Misa because you say he's Mechal Shabbos and Shabbos is Parsha Shlach in Queens in the neighborhood. You were in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos Parsha Shlach. You couldn't have been here. We saw you Friday night and there's no way in the world that you could have come to testify to see what's happening on Shabbos. We saw you Friday night at 2 o'clock in the morning in Yerushalayim. And there's no flights. It couldn't be that you were in Queens on Shabbos morning. So that's called Edim Zemimim. So the Torah says, the first pair of witnesses were attempting to administer the death penalty to this person based on a false allegation, they claim that he was Mechal Shabbos, that he killed somebody, and the second pair of witnesses prove that they were lying, because they say, Manu Ha'isim Mekom Pleni. So the Torah says, V'asisim Lo Kashazam L'Asalach. If they wanted to make him pay money, so we make them pay money. If they wanted to administer Malkus, so we give them Malkus. If they wanted to administer Misa, so we give them Misa. Frag the Gemara, maybe the person, the first two witnesses testified about that he paid Misa, maybe he was a treifa. So they were attempting to give the death penalty to a Gavrik Tila. So if they would have killed a Gavrik Tila, if they would have murdered a treifa, they wouldn't get the death penalty. So Edim Zemimim get the death penalty for attempted murder. Agzeres HaKosov, in this situation, when you're Mazim, the second pair of Edim, I'm Mazim, the first pair of Edim, so they get the death penalty for attempted murder. Usually attempted murder, you don't get the death penalty here. If it's in the form of Edim Zemimim, you do. But if they testified falsely about a person who was an Adam Trefa, so they were only attempting to murder a person who was a Gavrik Tila. If they would have killed him, they wouldn't have gotten the death penalty. The Freg de Gemara, the Leichesh, let's be concerned, Dilma Hach, the Asidabe, maybe the person about whom they were testifying that he deserves a death penalty, maybe he was Trefa Havi, so they were attempting to kill a Gavrik Tila, so how can you give them the death penalty? El Allah Mishum Di Arminon, the answer is because we assume Zil Basarube, and white people are not Trefa, so therefore we assume the person about whom the first Kat Eidim were testifying was not a Trefa, and therefore they were attempting to kill Adadim Shalom, not a Trefa. Maybe you say, no, we only give the death penalty to the pair of witnesses if we'll cut up the body. They testified that someone gets the death penalty and we killed them. And we killed them already. And now we're going to cut up the body. The medical examiner will cut it up and check every part of my body to make sure that he's not a traitor. So the Gemara says, no, the din of Edom Zemimim only applies if it was attempted murder. And they didn't give him the death penalty because the din is hargu. If they already gave the death penalty, ain't they rugim? Then you don't give kasha zama. The Mishnah says that it's keneged asecho. It's counterintuitive. One would have thought, if you give the death penalty to the witnesses because they attempted to kill the person, that you give the death penalty if they actually went ahead and they administered the death penalty. So the mission says, no, you cannot establish a death penalty based on a Kal V'chaim. Pasuk only says, v'asisim la kasha zomam, kasha zomam v'loi kasha rosam. So that's what the Gemara says, v'chitein, and maybe you'll say, the only time we give the death penalty is, we'll cut up the dead body of the person whom the witnesses killed, and we'll cut him up and we'll check to see, to ascertain that he wasn't a good. And the Gemara says, you can't cut him up, he's still alive. I've got Tanya, we have a brisa, b'rebi oimer. The Rebbe is an expression that means a Gadol Ador. Here it doesn't say who it is, but some Gadol Ador, some Gadol Bator said, the Rebbe Yom, a big Talmud Chacham said, Loi Hargu, Nerogim. Hargu ain't Nerogim. If they attempted to give the death penalty and designated Gemadim, but they did, they stopped the music in the middle, they didn't give the death penalty, then there's a punishment of Kashazam. But if Hargu, if the Rebbe is dead, then ain't Nerogim. So you can't cut up the body. There is no dead body to cut up. The guy's still alive. He's walking around. You can't check. You can't cut him up to check. So that's the source. So the Gemara had all these sources. You have 10 sources. Put together, Amar Aleph, Amar Beis. Every Amara had another Mokar in the Chumash that you even follow Ruba Delei Sekamon, and you even follow Ruba Delei Sekamon to administer Mrs. Bez. Those are the Chidushim. Even to the extent of giving Mrs. Bez. And that's the problem with the Rambam. The Rambam Paskin is that you don't, the Yeroi Li, that you don't give the death penalty based on Ruba Delei Sekamon.
Yeah, well, want to be masculine, like, yeah. Look to save the guy,
if there is a way to check and he thinks that he can get somewhere, Adirama. The Gemara just says, you're not, the Bez not mechuyev to spend money. Maybe today it's not that expensive. Maybe in the days of the Gemara there was no way to check. Maybe today there is a way to check. So maybe you can prove that the person was a trefer. It'll be potter. Maybe the Bez not will be mechuyev as man is at a check. Could be. So the Gemara quoted all these sources. Then Ravashi Amar, Ravashi is one of the last of the Amarim. Ravina and Ravashi were the ones who went into the Talmud Babli, or they were generations of Amarim. So they were the last generation. Ravashi Amar, wrapping everything up, we're learning Gemara Chulin, so he says, Asya, we derive that you go basura mishchita atzma from the whole institution of shchita. Torah says you shecht an animal and you eat the behemoth. How do you know the animal isn't a treifa? So if it has a broken leg, you can tell on the outside. But let's say it has a hole in the lung, a hole in the kishka, so how do you know whether it has a cold? You're going to have to go check everything. So maybe you shouldn't eat any animal until you check for all the 70 treifas. Yeah, but there's some treifas that's impossible to check for. You check with a sharp knife by the neck. After you check, maybe exactly the spot where you cut with the knife to do the shechita, maybe there was a neck of in the kan or the, in the veshet. A neck of innovation makes a treifa. Maybe there was a neck of innovation. Rashi said, we're discussing how do you, the, all of the earlier generation, we're all discussing how do you know you go basarov. So he says, from the institution of shechita itself, you can see you go basarov. The Om Rachman Torah says, shchot ve'echol, shech the animal, you can eat it. V'lechesh, let's be concerned about the possibility. Shema b'makam nekev koshochit. Maybe where he cut with the sharp knife, maybe there was a nekev on the veshet just over there. So it won't even help if you cut up the animal into tiny little pieces. You still don't know. But Allah mishon na'minizil basar rubi. You see, you go basar rubi, and right behemis akshevus. So that's, we have established. So we had all the 10 rayas, one raya after the other, that you go basar rubi. Zog di gemara om Rav Ashi. Amrita the Shmaita Kameh the Rav Kahana. I told over my vort to Rav Kahana. My vort was, Rav Ashi was the last one. He said, you learn off in the institution of Shechita itself. How can the Torah say you shecht an animal and you eat it? Maybe there was a treifus. There's no way to know. Maybe there was a nekiv in the veshet exactly at the location. You see, you're not mechuyev. We only, the Ramban, we mentioned, the Ramban says, based on a medrash, the only treifus that you mechuyev to be bodek for after you shecht is sirchus on the rei, because that's a miut hamotzi. All the other treifus are miut chen hamotzi, you're not mechuyev. Unless you know the animal fell down a flight of stairs. So then it may have fallen in such a way that the ribs punctured a hole in the lungs. So then you got to check whether there are any broken legs, whether there are any broken ribs, whether there are any punctures in the lungs. Okay. But if it's a normal animal that was walking around normally and there's no latest asophic of anything, then the only thing you have to check for is the sirchus on the lungs. Yes.
Is everything like kosher today, or do we pass
it
on the
surface? And a lot of the slaughterhouses, they don't want to waste time rubbing off. The Ramor writes in Europe that by Ashkenazim, they used to, the Mechaber writes like this, if there's a sircha means like it's stuck from one lobe on the lung to another, like big balloons, one to the other. So that's a sircha that's attached from one to the other. So if it's easily removable, you can rub it off very easily, so that's not called the sircha. Then the Ramah has a kula, a whopper of a kula. Even if you have to rub it, if you take a knife and you cut it, the sircha, so then maybe there's a hole below the sircha. But if you keep on rubbing until you rub off this sircha, and then you blow up the lung, and you submerge it in a bucket of water below the water, like when you have a tire and you want to see whether there's a hole in the tire. So if no bubbles come up, so you see that there was no hole. If you take a knife, a sharp knife, and you cut the sircha and then you blow, of course there's not going to be any bubbles. Maybe there was a hole and the sircha plugged up the hole. But if you rubbed off, you rubbed for half an hour until you finally rub off the whole sircha, that takes a lot of time. So then the Ram always makel. There was a big hefsid. If it turned out to be a treif and a behema, so you have to sell it to the goyim, so you can't charge as much money. So now in America, in a lot of slaughterhouses, they have a deal that whenever anything is a treifa, so they sell it for the goy. So why should they have someone waste a half an hour to rub off the sircha and then to start blowing air under the water to see if it's going to work? Sure, they sell it for the treif, doesn't pay. So in a lot of slaughterhouses, everything is glad kosher.
That's the definition,
glad kosher. Glad kosher means that it's smooth, that you didn't have to rub. If the sircha removes very easily, even Rabbi Yosef Kara, even according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would be mutter. And not glad kasha means if you had a rub for a long, long time, that's called miyuchu mishmash. Usually the Ramah is machmer. Usually the Mechaber has a lot of dinim, and the Ramah is machmer for Ashkenazim. And then there's one kula that the Ramah has that the history books write outweighs all the chumras that he wrote, that you don't need glad kasha. So the Ramah wrote this one kula, the miyuchu mishmash in Europe, that was a very relevant kula. In America, a lot of places, they don't waste time on it anymore.
Was the only shver answer for the Rambam subject to the rice of the Kuma was mid Rabbanan except by
mitzvahs.
Right. One non-mitzvah shechita.
All the other Gemaras were mitzvahs, and the last one shechita is not a mitzvah.
So you can answer for the Rambam is a shtickle mitzvah, and it's not just a matir, or you have no answer for the Rambam.
Could be it is a mitzvah. We're not sure. The Rambam sounds like you hold that it is a mitzvah.
So this would prove it then. It would be a mitzvah.
Could be.
Matter.
Could be. It's unclear. Could be. So Rav Ashi says he told them, I told them my word to Rav Kana that you can prove from the institution of Shechita itself that you go Basarayv. Another version has it that we mixed up the name Amrilo. Another version has Rav Kana said it over Kamei de Rav Simi. Not the Rav Ashi told it over to Rav Kana, but rather Rav Kana told it over to Rav Simi. For Omalei, and somebody responded, either Rav Kana responded or Rav Simi responded, how can you prove from the institution of Shechita that you go Basarayv? Maybe Abmahatish can bear it. The Torah says there is an institution, you shecht an animal, you can eat it. So you have no bread, but there's no way to check to see. There's no way that you can know that where you cut, we made the incision to do the shechit, maybe there was a neck of innovation. So even if you check every single thing on the geshecht an animal, you still won't know. So maybe hechadeh lo yapsha, lo yapsha, so then you go basarayv. But maybe hechadeh epsha, whenever it's possible to avoid relying on the rov, maybe you should avoid it, like the case of the Katan Ktana, like we discussed last week. The Katan Ktana was, a man was married, he died leaving no children. And the Almana is a young girl, the Almana is only 10 years old. And the surviving brother is only 12 years old. So, would we permit them to do Chalitza? They can't, if they don't want to marry, if they don't want to do Yibam, they want to do Chalitza. So the Mishnah says, in Perek Mitzvah's Chalitza, to do Chalitza, you require that he and she, the Yavam with the Yavama, both have to be Bar Mitzvah and Bas Mitzvah. A Kotan can't do Chalitza, and a Ketan can't do Chalitza. But what if they don't want to do Chalitza? They want to do Yibam? So the Mishnah says, let them live together. They decide they want to live together, it's okay. They don't have to be Bar Mitzvah. Rav Meir says no, because if it'll turn out that the brother, the Yavam, is a Saris, then there's no din of Yibam. If it'll turn out the girl, the Yavama, is an islandist, there's no din of Yibam at all. And even though it's very far-fetched, highly unlikely that she's going to turn out to be an islandist, he's going to turn out to be a Saris. But there's no way to know before Bar Mitzvah. This you only know after she reaches the age of 12 and after he reaches the age of 13. And the body is developing, so then you can tell the way the body develops if it's going to be a normal development. So it's going to be a star and an island. So Rav Meir says, Chashinan lemiyuta. You have to be choshish. Maybe she may turn out to be an island. He may, this Yava may turn out, the surviving brother, may turn out to be a Yom. So we shouldn't allow them to live together now. Maybe an Isser Eshesach, Shaloba Maka Mitzvah. If you have a Mitzvah of Yibam, so there's no Isser Eshesach. But if there's no Mitzvah of Yibam, either because she's an islandess or because the surviving brother, because the brother who died, if somebody was a Saris or somebody's an islandess, then the whole din of Yibam Chalitza doesn't apply, but you'll have an Avera of Eshesach. So Rav Meir says, Chayshinu Lemiyuto, so wait, Vartunter a couple of years. So the Gemara says, you have not disproved Rav Meir. You prove in the Chumash there's an institution of Shechita. The Chumash says, you can shecht an animal and eat it. So there's no way that you can know every single treifas. So Hechad Dalayavshir, you go Basurah. But Hechad Dalayavshir, don't allow the boy and the girl to do Yibam now. So maybe Hechad Efshir, you should not go Basarayv. The Dilma, that was the Taina that Rav Simi had, Rav Kana had, yeah, he argued back, maybe whenever it's possible to ascertain for sure, maybe you shouldn't rely on the right. Maybe only rely on the right when Hechad, they have no Brera. Why delay Taima Hachi? Otherwise you'll have Kasha. We know the Rav Meir, Chayish Lemiyut, the Rav Meir says you shouldn't allow the boy and the girl to live together before Bar Mitzvah, before Bas Mitzvah, Shema Timotze Island. So how does Rav Meir eat any flesh? Rav Meir, that never, it was, he was a vegetarian. It says in the Chumash, the parasha of eating flesh, Yishech the Behem, eat it. So obviously he has to agree that Loi Chashina Lemiyuta. So what does he say, Chashina Lemiyuta? The Loi Teim HaHachi, if not going to distinguish between Hecha Deepshe, Hecha Deepshe, Li Rav Meir, the Chayish Lemiyuta, Rav Meir, Shita is that the Katan Ketana shouldn't have Yibum, because Chashin Lemiyuta, Hachanami Delechot Bisri, mean to say, Rav Meir never ate any flesh. Of course he ate flesh. So the answer is, maybe he never ate any flesh. What do you mean never ate anything? But it's a parsha in the Chumash. Means maybe Rameir Shita, that's what Tosis raises the question. Rameir Shita is the Raisa de Rabbanah. But Rameir says you shouldn't allow the Kotlin and the Ktana to have Yibum together. That's a real din de Raisa de Chashinim and Yuta, or it's only a Chumir de Rabbanah. So the Gemara says, V'chitema, the last line, V'chitema hachinami, Rameir was tachka vegetarian. What do you mean? But it's against the Pasuk in Chumash. So it means, V'chitema, Rameir Shita is only Midi Rabbanah. And the Chumash it says what the din in Atar is. Rameir came up with a chumer midi rabbanon not to rely on roiv. So fine, you can make a chumer midi rabbanon to be a vegetarian, but Pesach, he can't be a vegetarian. Pesach v'kachem eikon l'meimah. Korban Pesach, whether you like it or not, you have to eat the kazayis of Korban Pesach. Jack and Rameir eat the flesh of the Korban Pesach. The answer is, hechad yafsher lo yafsher. He says, vartunter, by the yavam and the yavam will wait a little bit before you allow them to live together. Chashin alimut, hechad yafsher. Even Rameir agrees that loy chashin alimut. That's what the Gemara says. And Rav Meir, you have to select that. Hachanami, maybe over here, the Rabbanon also. You can't really prove from Shechita itself. That's not a good proof. All of these are not a good proof. Maybe Hechad Yafshir. Torah says you have no way to avoid it, so you rely on Rav. Hechad Yafshir, you can't really prove from any of the ten Rayas. From whole Daf Gemara, you can't prove anything. So at the end of the day, we still don't know. How do you know that you go, but where's the pasuk? The Gemara leaves off, we don't have any pasuk. So what's taka the marker? So what's taka the marker? Halavadai, that's the top Rashi. So the Gemara leaves you hanging. The Gemara on the top of your Aleph and Aleph asks me, no, Hamil Saddam Rabban, how do you know you go, but right? They said, you have the pasuk, Acharam Lahata. And they said, no, Acharam Lahata says the Ruba de Issa, come on. How do you know you go, but Ruba de Issa? I'm saying, but one right, second, third, fourth, fifth. 10 riots, one after each Amor brought a different riot. Then the Gemara slugs them all up. Maybe Hechad Eloyepsher. Hechad Eloyepsher. You still don't know from all the 10 riots. You still haven't proved it, so you left us hanging. How do the Rabbana know that you go by the riot? I feel a Hechad Eloyepsher. So Rashi comes to finish off. The fifth line from the top and the first narrow line in Rashi. Elevadai. The punchline is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Hu Desamchin and Aruba. Feel Hechad Eloyepsher. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. There's no pasuk. The pasuk in Chumash Acharam Lahatus is going on Ruba the Issa Kamon, and Ruba the Leisa Kamon is a Torah Shabbat Be Alochal Moshe Misina Inami. Or another suggestion is it's also learned that from Acharam Lahatus Mashvet Ben Ruba the Issa Kamon Ben Ruba the Leisa Kamon. 2 days in Rashi. Acharonim points out 2 days in Rashi. When you get to the end of the Gemara, you still don't know what's the Mokka. So Rashi is not sure either. It's Alochal Moshe Misina that Ruba the Leisa Kamon is good, or it's or we assume that even though there's a makom lechalek, we don't distinguish. We say they're both included in the parsha and chumash. Acharam lahatas goes both on ruba de isa kamon as well as on ruba de loisa kamon. The next gemara is another topic. The next gemara starts over here. The fourth line from the top goes on and on and on to the top of Amud Beis. It's an easy gemara, but we'll have to save it for next after the summer. And the parsha. In Parshas Korach, Korach was Ma'arar on the Kahuna. So at the end of Parshas Korach, the Chumash reviews many of the Chof Dalet Matnas Kahuna. That the Rabbanu Shlomo made a bris with the Kohanim, and Korach had no right to be Ma'arar on the Kahuna, and we have to give the 24 Matnas Kahuna to the Kohan. So the Chumash mentions among the various Matanas, you have to give Truma to the Kohanim, you have to give Maisa Mena Maisa when you take Maisa Rishon, you give it to the Levi, so the Levi has to take 10% of everything is Maisa Rishon, has to take 10% of that, that's Maisa Mena Maisa, that's called Trumas Maisa, and he gives that to the Kohen. So the Chumash says, V'nechshel lachem Trumaschem, and the Trumas Maisa that the Levi gives to the Kohen is Farechent, has the same status, Kadogan min Agor and Chamlea min Ayakev, just like the Truma Gedola that the farmer separates from the Tevel, has the din of Truma Gedola, so the Maisa Mena Maisa has the exact same din. It's a Mishnah in Me'ila that there are different kinds of Truma. You have Truma Gedola, Chala, Bikurim, and Maisa Mena Maisa. It's all Shem Echad. All has the same din of Hashem Maisa. Hashem Truma. Everything has Hashem Truma. Let's say, in order to get Malkus, you have to eat a Kazayis of non-kosher food. What if I eat a half a Kazayis of Chazer and a half a Kazayis of Basa B'chola? So we paskin, there's a machloek of satana. We paskin, it's not mitzvah. You have to eat a full kazayis of basa b'cholav or a full kazayis of chazer. If he eats half a gezeis of one, he says half a gezeis of another, he says it's not mitzar. What if I'm not a kohen and I eat a quarter of a gezeis of chala, a quarter of a gezeis of bikurim, a quarter of a gezeis of truma gedoyla, and a quarter of a gezeis of ma'isa menah ma'isa? So the Mishnah says in Me'ila that they're all mitzar because it's all shem echad. Everything is called truma. So the pashup shat and the pasuk is v'nechshol lachem chumaschan kadogan danagoyin. When the Ben Levi is mafresh ma'isa min ha'ma'iser, trumas ma'isa, and he gives it to the kohen, has the exact same status like truma gedol. Comes the Torah Shabbat Pen, has an additional level of understanding on the word v'nechshav lachem. That truma nitelas b'machshava, that even though truma, the Rambam has 14 svarim, that's why we nicknamed it the Yad HaZaka, the Yad Yudala, the 14 svarim. So one of the svarim is Sefer HaFlo. Sefer HaFlo is Lefale neder and lefale. Rashi writes lefarish bisvas of parley balas, to speak. So you take a neder, a shvuah, naziris, erchan, haram, and hakdeshes, hashrofshes, trumas, and maisus, yemagdash, karmen. This is all called in yoni haflor, something that's chala yidei dibur. So all in yoni haflor. So the gemara lets off in the pasuk nefesh kisushav levate bisvasaim. The pasuk in parshas vayikra, a neder, a shvuah is only chal if you mefarish bisvas. If Goma believer, person made up his mind, he's going to take a neder, but he never said it, so the neder is not binding. So the Gemara says there is an exception. That there are a few exceptions to the rule. Truma is chal b'machshava, and hegdish is chal b'machshava. So how do you know that truma is chal b'machshava? Because that's v'nechshav lachem chumaschem. That truma nitelas machshav. That's not the pasuk pshat, and the pasuk is v'nechshav lachem chumaschem. The truma's ma'isa that the lady gives is farechen. Is considered as the same status as truma gedoyla, but this is an additional level of an interpretation that Torah Shabbat Pe'adzan. But nechshav lachem chumaschem, truma is chal just by thinking. I didn't pick it up and say harezer truma. I had in mind that from all of the 50 units, he's supposed to give 2% for truma gedoyla. So from all the 50 units, I have in mind that this unit should become truma gedoyla. It's chal. I didn't have to pick it up. I don't have to say a word. So the minig for many generations was when the women bake challahs for Shabbos, they say a bracha l'afrashas challah, whatever, question what the nusach habracha is supposed to be, and then they take challah and they don't say harezah challah l'ashem alakol, they don't say a word. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his comments on Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ravid, who quotes the Shultis, who says that after you say the bracha and you pick up the challah, you should say harezah truma l'ashem alakol, harezah challah l'ashem alakol, you should say a hafrashas challah. And the minig anashim is that they don't say. Minig anashim, they say a bracha, and then they take off the challah and they put it on the side. They don't do a kriya shem. So the Netziv wrote a commentary on the Shiltis when he was very young, when he was a teenager. They thought he was a shlemazel when he went to learn in Valozhin. They thought he was a lo yutzlach. And then accidentally they discovered that he was corresponding with some of the Gedolei Ador, and he wrote this commentary as a teenager. He wrote a commentary on the Shultas. And then at a very young age he married the daughter of the Rosh Hashir. Rabbi Yitzhak Volozhiner was the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. So he married the daughter of Rabbi Yitzhak Volozhiner. She was a few years older than him. He was just barely bar mitzvah. So they thought he was his brothers-in-law didn't think too much of him. And then they discovered he was corresponding with Goyim, and he had written this commentary. So he writes down his commentary. Interesting. He comes to defend the meaning Hanoshim, why they chose Bedavke not to declare Harezah Truma L'Hashem Alakom. So he says, if you're mafrish Bedibur, he thinks that the Kedusha is going to be deeper. If you're mafrish Memachshav, it's a lower level of Kedusha. And he says, by us, everybody's Tomei, and the Chala is going to be Chala Tomei. So there's a din in the Gemara. A Nazir is not allowed to be Metame himself, and an Adam who's in a cemetery is not allowed to be Mekabel Naziris. Because the Gemara says it's the same thing. If you are a Nazir and you go into the cemetery, you're creating a Nazir Tame, and if you're in the cemetery, Mekabel Naziris, you're creating yourself as a Nazir Tame. So they're the same thing. You're not allowed to be Mekabel Naziris when you're a Tame Mace, just like a Nazir is not allowed to be Metame himself. So the same over here. You're not allowed to bring into existence Truma Tameya. So if you have truma tahor, you're not allowed to be metamiyat. If you have food that's tameh, you really shouldn't be allowed to be mafresh truma. If you're not going to be mafresh truma, everything will remain tevel. You won't be able to eat it. So you have nabrera, you have to be mafresh truma, you have to be mafresh challah, but you don't have to be mafresh it to give it the full degree of kedusha. Maspik if you give it the lower level of kedusha's truma, lower level of kedusha's challah. So he defends the meaning anoshim. The meaning is that it's many centuries that everybody's tameh meis. We don't have any paraduma waters, and no one can be tahar. So all the challah that we're mafrish is challah tamei. All the truma that we're mafrish is truma tamei. So he says, the minig has it that we're not mafrish bedibur. If you're going to be kurish shem truma, kurish shem challah bedibur, you're going to have a full kedushas truma, full kedushas challah. So the minig anoshim is that they just want to be mafrish challah to remove the isa tevel, but they don't want to give it the full degree of kedushas truma. So the davke mafrish be machshava, not bedibur. Yeah, this was good in Europe because they were never mafrish trumas and maises. Now in Eretz Yisrael they should carry it over, so no one should be koreshein bepeh when you're mafrish truma. They should just be mafrish truma machshava. I don't think anybody does that. According to the way the Netziv is defending the meaning of anoshim all the centuries in Europe, so it should come out when you're mafrish truma in Eretz Yisrael, it should dafke be mafrish agdei machshava. Okay. I want to wish everybody a pleasant summer. It's very pleasant. Going together, after the summer, we'll continue. I happen to be going to Eretz Yisrael tonight. A last minute plan. I'm going to attend a meeting of Rabbanim about Shemitah for next year. And then I'm coming back right after Shabbos. So I think I better not, maybe I won't stay tomorrow.